kind of a little series thing, and it's called The High Life, and it's about new creation realities and the realm of encounter. So we're going to talk about the realm of encounter. I'm going to go over some of the mechanics of that, and the only reason I'm doing the mechanics of it is to help you to have an understanding and to lay a grid. You can know the mechanics, but if you don't know the Lord, it doesn't matter. God cannot be and will not be ever manipulated. So he doesn't bargain. He doesn't. He just basically tells us and we say yes or no. And then we're going to get into some of the limitless possibilities. I have to land. I'm going to do a little bit of a review because it's been about, I think, a month or so ago is when I actually started doing some of the teaching. And because you build line upon line and precept upon precept so that the understanding grows and enlarges. Because as your understanding grows and enlarges, you're able to encounter greater and deeper things. This is just a observation of statistics, is that you have to hear something 7 to 10 times before it even registers. If you take notes, hint, hint, it takes 3 or 4 times. Otherwise, the first 9 times it runs through your ear gate, you can't register it. And usually it's that 10th time when it registers and it clicks, you attribute that person with some wild revelation because you got it that time. Okay, but chances are you've heard it 7, 8, 9 times before that. Okay, so just note that if you take notes, it's fewer times. Do you know why? Because it runs through your brain differently. Okay, all right, now this is a review. I start off usually pretty basic always and just kind of let things expand. So I usually start at salvation. And one of the things that we've done in the religious circles is we've made salvation more about a behavioral issue than a bloodline issue. And when it becomes about a behavioral issue, it sets you up for a life of works and striving. But when it becomes about a bloodline issue, there is a grace to step into things that you didn't have before. Okay, now when Adam chose to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he committed sin and his entire nature and structure changed. He went from having a divine nature to a corrupt, fallen nature. That's why you have to be born again. Okay, now we around here are having this kind of wow moment, realizing the depth of that. You must be born again. It's not just a new kind of new, it is an entirely different thing that happens, because there's only one cure for the corrupt fallen nature, and that's the cross. Good works does not heal or change the corrupt nature that we inherited from Adam. Okay, our old man is put to death when we're born again of our heavenly Father and his seed, and we're placed into Christ. Now that's the gospel message in a nutshell right there. Okay, now if you've gone through that process, you need to know that you are a new creation, an entirely new being. Okay, you're not just a mere mortal human anymore. 2 Corinthians, let me find my little pointer. It's somewhere on here. There it is. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. And I just put 17 and 21 there. You can read it because it was just got too small if I put it all up there. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Okay, that's how you become a new creation, is that you're baptized into him. It says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And verse 21 says, for he made him, Yeshua Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we go from being corrupted, a corrupted nature, into becoming a righteous being before God in Christ. Okay, that's a pretty decent exchange if you ask me. All right, Galatians 6:15 says, for in Christ Yeshua, Jesus, there is neither circumcision or uncircumcision that avails anything but a new creation. It's all about becoming a new creation. The whole book of Galatians addresses the issue of keeping the law, doing good works, doing good things, versus receiving grace, stepping into Christ, and becoming righteous. So those are the two paths. We either are going to seek to do good works, try to make ourselves good enough, clean enough, pure enough by our own works, or we're going to do the divine exchange and take on his nature and become righteous in Christ. Okay, that's another good deal in case you're wondering. Okay, now, as part of the new creation realities, we are no longer in Adam, right? We're not in Adam any longer. We are in Christ. Now, what it means when I say being in Adam, it means born of his seed line and born of him, of his nature. Okay? At salvation, we step out of being in Adam and we step into being in Christ. All right, now in Christ means that we are born of the seed of God and we are of his bloodline. Because new creation realities deal with sonship. They are for the sons of God. Now, I'm going to make some statements that the last time I made them, I got some tilted heads that went, wait a minute. Okay? There is a false sonship message out there that says every person is a child of God. Okay? That is not true. Everyone is a creation of God, but not everyone is born of God. To be him, to be your father, you have to be born of him. Okay? Now, he's either your father or your creator. One's relational and the other is not. Father deals with relationship. Okay? Now, the other thing that we talked about is that we are multidimensional beings. That we live in and out of at least three dimensions. All at the same time. There are more. But these are the three that I'm going to primarily talk about tonight. And we touched on this before. And how about we just say this? Okay, I am a multidimensional being living in at least three dimensions at once. Okay? You may need to say that every day for a while. Because if you don't acknowledge you're multidimensional, you may not realize when you're functioning, because we around here we talk about living out of heaven, right? That's what we talk about here. But if you don't understand that you can be here on earth and functioning out of heaven at the same time, you'll get a little bit disoriented. Okay? So, and then my question is a person who is not born again still a multidimensional being? The answer is yes. Yes, they are. They don't have the same access place as we do, but they are still multidimensional. All right, now here are the three dimensions that we're going to touch on. Okay? You have a dimension, and I'm going to, like I said, these are the mechanics. This is to help you understand. The first dimension that we're going to talk about is this physical dimension that we're in right here. Okay? The body is made up of blood, bone, and flesh. I did have flash there, but I caught that typo before I got here because it wasn't going to be flash here. It was going to be flesh. Okay? And it is connected to the physical world and the five natural senses. Okay? It's this world right here. I can go up and touch, taste, feel, smell, all that stuff. Okay? Now there is, and the next realm is the soul realm, which if you generalize the parts of that, it's mind, will, and emotions. Now the soul realm is a non-physical dimension. Okay? Can you see your thought? No. Can you see an emotion? You see the effects as it works itself out in the body, but it is the soul dimension is a non-physical dimension, but it is not spirit. Okay? It is not spirit. Now there is a plane called the astral plane that is between these two dimensions right here. Planes go this way, dimensions, there's planes inside of dimensions. Now the spirit is your conscience, intuition, and communion, and it is light. That's its composition, is light. Now each one of those are dimensions. Okay, body, you're conscious of the physical world. Soul is a part of a non-physical dimension, but it is not the spirit. And it is in the process of being restored and renewed. Okay? Now my question is, what is it being restored and renewed to? Okay, remember I like dialogue? What's it being restored back to? Before the fall. Okay, we just don't get healed of our soul wounds. We get restored all the way back to before the fall, when we knew no abandonment. We knew no fear. We knew no condemnation. That's what we're being restored back to. Okay, now the human spirit is seated in heavenly places, engaging in those heavenly places. Whether you are conscious of it or not, that's where your spirit's at. Okay, all right, now let's talk about a realm and a dimension, because this term right here came up, the realm of creation. Now this is I don't know what these are called, to be honest. They're not a realm, because realms are inside of these little things right here. So I'm looking into them, trying to find out what they are. Now this is the realm of, it's not realm, I'm going to call it that because that's what I'm used to calling it, but it's not a realm. It's bigger than a realm. It is, I don't know what it's called, so I'm going to use realm. Okay. Can y'all handle that? Okay. This is the realm of what was. Then you have, see this line right here, in the beginning? In the beginning is a place. It is not the beginning of a chapter in the Bible. It is a place called in the beginning that opened up the realm of what is. Now, there is a realm called what is to come. And at the edge of the realm of what is and what is to come is called the rim of creation. Because this right here is waiting on the manifested sons to create it, and then it will become the what is. Okay, did you grab that? Okay, because that's your destiny right there. I will try. I'll try to say it again. Where do I need to start? At the what is to come? All right. The what is to come is the realm where the manifested sons are going to create at this rim right here. There's a school there, in case you're wondering, to teach us how to do this. It's in the spirit. And I'm going way off topic, but I hope you get it, Andre. The what is to come when the manifested sons create from this realm right here, this what is to come becomes the what is. Okay, that's what we're called to do as manifested sons right there. And that is on every level and dimension. That is terraforming the earth, bringing creation into alignment. That is new business ideas that will shift and shape the world. You know, Bob, that free electricity and stuff? That's it right there. Actually, that's what it is. We know, right? Okay? Yes, ma'am. It's a plane where people that do soul travel. Huh? It's illegal, yeah. But you can do it. Saved people can do it. Okay? All right, so you got that? Because this is our destiny. This is what God's doing in the earth right now. He's raising up the sons so that we can go to this school. And again, it's in the spirit. So that we can learn how to do. All right? Now, you gotta grab this one quick. Because when you get it, you'll get it. What was ends at in the beginning? In the beginning begins the what is. To get to the what is to come, you have to go back to the what was at the in the beginning. Okay? I told you we were going to have steak. Okay, take a picture of it and meditate on it until you get it. Because once you get it, something inside of you will radically shift. Okay, head knowledge will never, ever do what once you get this. Because the end is the beginning and the end. Now it's the beginning is the end and the end is the beginning. You'll hear me say all the time, you have to go back to in the beginning because you have to see yourself there. The you before the fall to know who you're going to be. Yeah. Yeah. If you're trying to figure out your destiny, you better get back to in the beginning to see yourself before you fell. The you before you fell. Because that's what you're being restored back to. Okay, y'all ready to go on? Okay. I'll try to go. That one? Right? This? Do you want me to explain that? Okay. The body, the spirit, in this next one, it may help more to understand what I mean by spirit, soul, and body. The body is the part that works it out into the natural. Okay, now in the spirit, okay, I'll do a personal thing. In the spirit, when I'm seated in heavenly places, I can make this statement, I am healed. Okay, because in the spirit, all things are complete and done. Okay, but down here in the soul, it's getting worked out. And when it gets worked out, my body will come into alignment and I will walk out my healing on this earth. Okay, does that make sense? We'll get into a little bit more of that. So when you make this declaration, I am healed, and my kidneys aren't working, I'm not lying and I'm not playing a head trip with myself. I understand where I'm operating out of. Okay, can we go on? Y'all ready? And you gotta eat fast. You gotta eat fast and chew fast. See, I want you to leave completely bewildered, falling on your face, going, Holy Spirit, teach me. Okay? All right, we're moving on. Okay? Most, well, you should have, if you've seen this, this is from Mike Parsons and others. Okay? Now, this right here, we're looking at things like this. Okay? Like across this way. Okay? I'm just trying to explain it in a language it doesn't work real well. All right, now we're going to explain things this way. Okay, you ready? Okay, how many are bewildered and lost? Nobody? Yeah, you do need to see 3D, actually more than 3D. Okay, but you have to see things differently than linear. If you're linear focused, you're going to have a hard time in the spirit. Because the spirit is anything but linear. There's order, but it's not linear. Okay? All right. So, down here, we have what's called, these right here, this little column is realms. These I know are realms, and planes go this way, back across this way, when you're looking at it. Okay? Hopefully this will help you when you see to kind of understand some things. Okay, here we have the realm of what was, but we're going to start down at the what is. Okay, that's a little bit easier. Okay, in the what is realm, you have the kingdom of earth that your body hangs out in that has time and space, but it also has light and dark in it. Okay, it has both of those. Now, in between the kingdom of earth and the kingdom of God, which is deals with your soul realm, see that little place right there? That's the court of accusation. It sits on the rim of both of those dimensions. And that court can go all over the face of the earth, bringing justice onto the earth. Okay, read Ezekiel. It's a wheel within a wheel. We won't go there. I'll get wobbly. Okay. Up. Go back. All right, so you've got the kingdom of heaven. These are some of the courts that are in those places. All right, and then you have heaven. And above heaven, and heaven, this is a higher heaven. Than the king. It's a part of the kingdom of heaven. Is the what was realm. And you've got heaven, the heaven of heavens, perfection, and eternity. Those are dimensions there. Now, down here in your body, what does it say is placed in our heart? Eternity. So we have access through our heart gate to enter into these realms and dimensions, okay? It's through the heart. Okay? Got that? Y'all ready to go to the next one? All right. The mature sons, again, are creating the what is to come. All right. Now, multidimensional beings, again, the spirit deals with the realm of what was, where everything is complete and finished. That's where, out of that place, that's where we make all those bold declarations. That on earth, you go, you know, it's not really what's real down here, but this is the real place, the spirit. The soul is in the process of becoming. That's why we have to have our soul restored, because it is in that process of becoming. Body deals with what is coming into manifestation. Okay? Now, again, the beginning is the end, and the end is the beginning. Did I go too quick? I got a lot to... You're going to have a quiz afterwards. I will try to get that. I'm not real good about that, but I'll try. I'm getting better. I'm going to make that declaration from in the heavens. I am getting better. All right? Now, to walk as a mature son, like I said, you've got to go back to in the beginning. You need to see who you were there, not just here. Because most of us see ourselves only from this place, not from there in the beginning. Okay? Again, in the beginning is a place. Time is a spiral. It is not linear. Okay, now I'm going to give you a key. Several years ago, and when I give you a key, you have the choice to do it or not. Nobody's going to make you around here. If you want it, you're hungry, you'll do it. If you're not quite there yet, you won't. So, I don't know what Shane, I don't know, y'all, some of y'all know Shane. He had an encounter where he shared with us about time being a spiral. And in this, he made this statement that he, I got to set that down or we'll go all over the place. And he said that basically what he did is he started on his time spiral like today. And he just took, he walked down the time spiral of his life. And as he walked down it, he was just applying the blood to it. Just applying the blood. But I had heard Ian talk about some things too. About how Ian would pray through every year of his life. Every month of his life, he prayed through and would apply the blood. And so, me being me, I thought, well, I'm going to do this. And so what I did is I started on today. And I took out my little bucket of blood. It was, you know what it was in the spirit? You know those little bucket, yellow buckets that people use when they clean floors? It was one of those, and it had a mop in it. And I was like, works for me. We're going to clean something up here. And so I just went down the timeline, my timeline, and I walked all the way back to my birthday when I was born, December 7th, 1962. And you know what I heard? You better keep going to when you were conceived. And so he told me the exact day I was conceived. So I took my little bucket and went right back to that time. And when I got there, it was this, I was like, it's not done. It's just not done. I knew it wasn't done. I could feel it wasn't done. And then he said, go all the way back to Adam. Now, my first reaction, being the spiritual person that I am, was, you've got to be kidding me. Do you know how long that's going to take, God? Do you really? That's going to take a lot of time. He didn't say anything else. He wasn't going to acknowledge my stupidity, my silliness. He just told me what I had an opportunity to do or not. So I thought, okay, I'm going to do it. So here I go through my generations. One generation, two generations, three generations, four. Then I got out my Bible, started on the internet saying, how many generations is it back to Adam? And there, historically, it's not that many. It's only like 80-something. I mean, listen to that, 80-something back to Adam. Yeah, we're not talking thousands. See, that's that imprint of evolution on our brain where we think we've been around forever. So I did, whatever that was the number. And I said, okay, God, by faith, I'm just going to do it. And 80-something times, however many times it was, I went around. And then I landed in this dark place. And I got a little nervous because Christians equate dark with bad. You know that? Do you know y'all? We do that? Anytime we see something dark, we go, oh, that's bad. And I'm hoping I don't start kind of just erupting, because it was a pretty pot. So I was down here. Okay, I can feel it coming. And I inquired, but I didn't even say anything. And you know what I heard? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it began to reverberate in this place of darkness. And as it reverberated, it got brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And I became absolutely, completely undone. I mean, on the floor, wailing, convulsing, because that thing came out of me. And I mean, it messed me up. I just laid on the floor, just like a bawling. And I wasn't in a hurry to get up. I was quite enjoying it, to be honest with you. And so after that got done, I thought, whew, I need a break. I'm just going to take a break. Now, do you know how long that first time I started going down my time spiral and what I just said, do you know how long that was? Almost a year. Almost a year. Because I'm like a bulldog. I'm like a pit bull. I'm going to get what I'm after. I don't quit. It's not in me to quit. I want an encounter with God, and I wasn't going to stop until I got it. Now, when I went back to that place, because I would go back and forth in and out of this place. So I went back into this place. And so I'm sitting there, kind of Indian style, sitting in this place of darkness. And on the inside, I was like, what's on the other side? See, I've been inquiring minds. I have an inquiring mind. I like to ask God questions because He loves to answer them. So I'm sitting there. And I had been going like this down the time spiral. And I got down to the bottom, in the beginning. And I saw myself and had these incredible encounters there. But when I questioned, what's on the other side, it went like this. And opened up to the what was. And so I just stepped over and went into the what was. And there was a path, and I started walking down this path, kept going, and He let me walk all the way down this path, all the way down it, until I got to a door that I knew something was on the other side, and I'm not telling you the name of it, because I haven't been there yet, but I know what it is, and I know what's over there, and it's all in the Bible. You just have to read it with eyes that have an expansion on them. Okay? So you have a key. If you like to use it, you can. If not, do something with it. Okay? Now we're talking about the realm of encounter. Now there is absolutely nothing wrong with desiring an encounter with your Heavenly Father, with Yeshua, with the Holy Spirit, or any of the heavenly beings He sends to interact with us. Okay? So if you have a place in you going, oh, I shouldn't, you know, I should just live by faith and be okay. Okay, there's more, and I'm telling you and giving you permission that it's okay to have that desire. Because I believe it's quite normal to interact with God since we are in a relationship with Him. I find that in relationships, the more successful ones are about interaction. I mean, if you never see somebody or talk with them or interact with them, really, what kind of relationship do you have? Because we're talking about a relationship with a father and a child. And most of us have really messed up concepts about that, about what it's like to be with a father and who genuinely cares. We didn't have good role models. None of us did. And I think it's that way so that we can know the one real Father. So I think it should be quite normal that we interact with Him. I don't think it's for a select few. I don't think it's for the prophetic prophet people. I don't think it's for special people. I think it is quite normal to interact with our Father, to hear His voice, to encounter Him, to be touched by Him, to be loved by Him. I think it's normal that we have dreams, that we have visions and encounters. I think it is quite normal for us to do that. Okay? We have to remember there is one church, there's one body that is in heaven and on earth. One church, one body. They're not separated with a gap between. We've been taught that, but that's not true. Okay, y'all ready? Can we keep going or do we need to stop? You want to keep going? You sure? It's hot up in here. Okay. It's just hot. Somebody got the heat on. All right. We're three-dimensional beings. We have a human spirit that is full of light, full of glory, and full of agape love. Okay? It is that way. Period. It is that way. Period. Yeah, wait. Okay. Now that begins to affect our soul dimension. It's almost like there is a permeable layer between our spirit and our soul where the spirit and the things of God just will seep into our soul whether we want it to or not. It just seeps in. Okay? And as it does that, there's also gates inside of us that once they're properly aligned, it floods through. Okay? So if you can sit back, and if you're born of God, you are going to be challenged in your inner being. It's just how it works. Okay? Your soul begins to receive this light and glory and love, and it begins to change us from the inside out. What does religion do? Changes you on the outside, which means you behave, but your heart and your inner man is never affected. And it becomes religious duty and works. Okay, but the way God's created it is that the spirit begins to affect, because the human spirit right here is full of this light, glory, and love. So our soul begins to be changed from the inside out, and then as our body comes into alignment with that, it begins to manifest itself around us, bringing the world around us. It causes it to submit to the government of heaven in us. Okay, read it all on Facebook. How many's had a little skirmish this week? Had a little attack? Okay, all right, you need to rejoice in that. Do you know why? Because you have an opportunity. See, what you know what's happened? Is you've chosen to step in and let God begin to deal with some things. And when He does that, a little bit of chaos breaks out on the inside. Because He's saying, I'm giving you an opportunity to overcome. Now you can whine and moan. I almost said a bad word. You can whine and moan if you want. I'm in the process of transformation. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, you can grow and overcome by just releasing the government of heaven around you. And it will bring everything that's out of order into order. That's what the government does. All right, now we are a temple with many gates and gateways. And the law of agreement says where two or three come together, come into alignment, something will happen. Okay, there's two gates, primary gates, the heart gate and the gate of desire. Okay, everyone, or if you've been around here for any length of time, you've seen this little diagram. That's from Ian Clayton. That's not the one in his book, but it's someone took that and redid it. Okay, you have, just so that you understand you, your being, okay, here is the, okay, this right here is your body gate, and see all the five senses are right here. Then your soul gate is this gate right on the inside. And that's conscience, reason, imagination, your minds, emotion, choice, and will. Okay, that's those gates. And then you have your spirit gates, which is reverence, faith, hope, worship, revelation, intuition, and fear of God. Okay, those are your spirit gates. Then you have your heart gate, which is your, Ian calls it the gate of first love. And this is where the glory of God resides in us as believers. And so as your heart gate gets restored and it begins functioning correctly, there will be a flood of the glory of God that begins to go into these places, into your spirit. It begins to fill up. And then as these gates get dealt with and worked on, it begins to flood your soul, bringing restoration and healing to your soul. And then from that point, it begins to come out into the world around you, bringing order into your world. Okay, the keys to encounter, the motivation has to be a godly desire that's birthed out of love and relationship, which is a desire to know Him and to become like Him. Every encounter, that should be the motivation of the encounter, is I want to know Him. Not to hang out and play, but to know Him. And we have to learn to do things with intention, with purpose. Okay, now you guys that are getting up at 6 o'clock and doing that prayer call, you guys have an intention, right? If you're up at that time of the hour praying in the Spirit and hearing from God, you should have, hopefully you have an intention or you wouldn't be up. Do you see how you have that intention? Like I am intending and I'm going to pray in the Spirit and I'm going to hear from God. That's your intent, right? Okay, if it's not, it should be, because you'll encounter more. Okay, now we have to realize that it basically is all up to Him ultimately. It's all whether God determines if we're going to encounter Him or not, because He's God. But we'll get down here and we'll see something. We have to practice. Practice makes maturity. It brings you into a place of perfection. Doing it and doing it and doing it. How many of you who have been doing this prayer call, praying just for 15 minutes in the morning in the Spirit, have seen a change and a shift in you? Okay? Because you're practicing doing what we are supposed to do all the time. Okay? So don't stop doing this after 40 days. Don't do that. Don't. Just incorporate it into your daily life. Okay, I told Virginia, I get going at about 10 o'clock. And she's always quick to say, well, there's no time or space in the Spirit. So I'm like, checkmate. But you're doing it 6, I'm going to do it 10. And I am very diligent about that. I get up and I pray in the Spirit. I do my 15 minutes. Following the pattern, does it change sin? Okay. Okay, so practice makes perfect. If you've been doing it, if you've been praying in the Spirit 15 minutes for 20 days, 30 minutes is going to not be a problem. Now, 2 hours might, but we'll get there. We'll get there. Okay? Now, God will and does move sovereignly. However, if he has given us free access into the heavenly realm, it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Every encounter, we know it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. We don't have to wonder if he wants to do it. Okay, remember, heaven is open. It's a big neon sign. Heaven is open. Access has been granted to his children. Okay, are you ready? Can you keep going? It's a lot. I mean, yay or nay? Okay. All right, we're going to talk about the greatest hindrance, and I truly believe this is probably one of the greatest hindrances, is that we have to have correct mindsets. One is we have to know it's good to desire an encounter. So you've been given permission if you need it for some reason. Okay? You got to be properly positioned in Christ. Know that you are righteous and innocent before God. Okay? There is a knowledge of being righteous and innocent, but there is a reality that accompanies a feeling that I am righteous and innocent before God. All right, now this is a question. Virginia started getting there. There's water right here. Okay, can a person with unconfessed sin go into the heavens and encounter God? Okay, everybody write, get your hand out, and write a Y or an N on your hand. Not, you don't have to do it. I want everybody to answer this. Nobody's going to get called out. Nobody's going to have to make it a thing. Nobody's going to get in trouble. There is no quiz. But I want you to answer that in your heart. If you go out and you do something really, really, I use the word stupid, silly, wrong, or whatever, can you, 30 seconds later, encounter God? Okay. My answer is yes. And I want to encourage you in something, and I'm going to show you a scripture. If you do something like that, silly and stupid, okay, you need an encounter. Okay? You need an encounter. Even unrepented. Now, if you are in rebellion is different than committing a sin. Rebellion is a heart attitude. I'm going to do it my way, and I don't care. That's rebellion. No, you're going to have a heart. If you go up there like that, you're going to get a spanking. Okay? You're going to get a spanking. All right, now, the hindrance, the point I'm trying to make here is most of us do not see or feel ourselves as righteous before God. Pure, clean, and innocent. Those are some strong words. Pure, clean, innocent. What? Most of us don't see ourselves that way. Ask yourself and listen to what comes up inside of you. Because see, we know what to say. But does your inner man and your inner being, your heart, say, I am pure, I am righteous, I am innocent before God? Because if your heart is not saying that, you will get shut down every time. Because most people are afraid to enter into that interaction with the Father if they don't feel that way. Because we've been taught to be afraid. So I think that's one of the greatest hindrances. Now, do you know your behavior is just a garment in the spirit realm? It's just a garment. It's not who you are. Okay? Look at the shirt you have on. Okay, look at it. Let's be little children. Look at your shirt. Is that you? No. See, your behavior is like the shirt. It's not who I am. Okay, Zechariah 3, 1 through 5. These are some of my absolute most favorite verses in the Bible. And I'm going to read through it. It's small. It says, then he showed me. Now, this is Zechariah, is the he here. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. That sounds a lot like the court of accusation. Okay, I'm not going to just... Sounds kind of like it's like something's going on there. You've got a priest, Joshua, not only a priest, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan is standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua, this is Joshua's condition. Now Joshua, remember the high priest up there? Was clothed with filthy garments standing before the angel of the Lord. He had some sin in his life. His garment was filthy. Not him, his garment. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him. Who are those people? You need to read that scripture. It's part of your destiny. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garment from him. So there's this group of people that are there, and he says, hey, you guys go put a clean garment on him. And then he says, take away the filthy garment from him. And to him he said, this is he's saying something to Joshua. See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. So he says, hey, you guys, go take that filthy garment off of him. Repent, and you get a rich robe. Okay, and this gets better. And I said, Zechariah says, he's watching this happen, and Zechariah says, well, let them put a clean turban on his head. The guy who is observing says, hey, get a clean turban on his head. Do you know what that's a picture of? The restoration ministry we're to have to one another. Zechariah is in observation mode, and all of a sudden he sees he needs a turban. And so when he says that, let him put a clean turban on his head, they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. So who did the restoration there? It's all under the supervision of the Lord, but we get to participate in restoring people back. And it's not yelling and preaching at them. It's in the spirit going over and say, here, you need to think correctly. You don't see yourself the way you are supposed to. And in the spirit, that something in them shifts and they begin to walk out their destiny. We spend a lot of time doing things the hard way. Okay, who has final say in your life? You? Or God. Okay? You've got to resolve the inner conflict that's there. Okay? Now, most of us, saying, I don't want to stay too long here, but it's going to open a can of worms. Okay? Most of the emotions and the memories that we struggle and fight with are usually familiar spirits. Okay? You know what a familiar spirit is? A spirit that's been with you so long, you think it's you. Because it will start talking to you about how unworthy you are, how this you are and how that you are, and it sounds like your voice and you agree with it and you empower it instead of realizing what it is, okay? We've got to get healed and we have to learn to govern, have self-government over our thoughts and emotions. Most of the time, your emotions are like spoiled children. They'll pitch a fit on you. Get your feelings hurt and see what your emotions will do. It's going to act like a spoiled child and it's going to kick and scream until somebody comes over and pats you on the back and tells you it's going to be okay. It's like a spoiled kid. Or it's a familiar spirit. So you decide which one that is. Okay, now if you don't learn to discern a familiar spirit, do you know what's going to happen when you do have an encounter? It's going to tell you it didn't really happen. It's only your imagination. Nobody's going to believe you. Don't say anything. Okay, that's what it's going to do to shut you down. Okay? Now why? I want to have a question. Why last week was there hesitation to share? Yeah, I'm going to do this. Yes, I am, because I am like a mother, and I'm going to ask you. Why was there hesitation? Because I'm going to say 9 out of 10, it was a familiar spirit telling you not to say anything. When Virginia said, "Who wants to come share?" What did you hear? I mean, let's just be honest. We want to grow, right? Nobody wants to hear that again? Right. Okay. Now, would that be God? But did it sound like you? See, I could start really digging here. I came up to Virginia, and I'm like, seriously? Seriously. See, I'm a trainer and a equipper. You don't get away with that with me. She's much more gracious than me. I'd have called every one of you up here. Do you know why? Because you needed to overcome that familiar spirit. Not to be mean, to let you know how to overcome. Okay? The key thing to remember, honor is the key in the kingdom. If you do not honor what God gives you, then it gets taken away. Remember the talent story? Virginia brought it up on the Facebook page. Don't go hide your talent. Don't go hide that one little piece of revelation you got. Okay, that's the way of the kingdom. It's for grown-ups. It's for grown-ups, guys. Okay? If your spirit is seated in heavenly places, and your spirit is full of light, glory, and engaging in heaven, what would prevent us from engaging in that all the time? Okay? It's probably something in your soul realm. Okay? All right, we're going to end. What? Oh, boop. Slow on the draw. Because we are entering into a time and a season where things are they're exponential. It's going faster. And sometimes it's hard to keep up, to be honest. There has been more revelation in the last, maybe 5 years has been released from heaven. I can remember, 20 years ago? 20 years ago, going to all of the big name prophet conferences and almost cussing and saying, if I hear this one more time, I'm going to scream. Because it was all about what was going to happen one day. Can I tell you, it's that day. It is that day. You either get in and swim, or you sit on the bank and watch. You're in the kingdom. You're in the kingdom. But what do you get to participate in? I want it all. I want it all. Raising the dead, I want it all. And I'm tenacious enough to hammer and get my way through. Okay, one of the things that we prayed for this next generation, basically, is that you have a rod put in you that you cannot and will not quit. Because that's got to be in you for you to take hold of the things. Now, my generation, we have that a little bit. Life didn't come easy for us. We don't have an entitled mentality. Our mentality is, I'm going to take it. I will take it from you. And we didn't do good about showing you how to walk in things. Okay, so heaven is open. You need to know that. Heaven is open. Tomorrow morning, when y'all do your 6 o'clock call, come expecting. Do you come to ATR expecting? I come in sitting over there and I'm wondering who I'm going to encounter that night. Is John Paul going to show back up? I would really like to see John Paul. I needed John Paul tonight because I was about to have an issue. About to have an issue with myself. And he talks me through them. Tells me, don't worry about it. Chill out. You don't have to control everything. Let it go.